We are an imperfect couple, keeping it real, loving Jesus, loving each other, laughing our way through life, and figuring it out together. Hoping our stories can encourage and uplift others in their marriage to thrive and succeed, knowing they're not alone.
All right, well, welcome back to another episode of Real Love, Real Stories with the Bozos.
Hey, you said it right this time.
Oh, dang it. I should say Bozos. But.
No, it's Bozos always, okay. No matter what.
Anyways, we're so excited because we have some of our greatest and dearest friends. Pretty much the first people we met at church, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, they got us into a marriage group and then they kicked us out two groups later.
2 groups later. Yeah, that's true. Not even, I don't think. But it's Melissa and Jimmy. So welcome, guys.
Thank you.
Introduce yourselves.
Yeah.
I'm Jimmy. This is my wife, Melissa.
How long have you guys been married?
14 years.
14 years. Yep.
14 years.
14 years together for 17.
Ooh. It's a long time.
Yep.
It is.
Yeah.
That's like half my age, I think.
They don't make them feel old.
Oh my God. I'm not that old either.
It's like, oh my gosh, 17 years.
I'm like, oh, that doesn't sound. I'm so sorry.
I was in fifth grade.
Yeah. Alexandria was probably, how old were you 17 years ago?
I was 15. So I was a high schooer,
high
I think.
School. You guys have been married since she's been in high school.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or been together, cool. I should say.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Hey, that's a great thing.
Yeah. So can you guys share a little bit about your story, how you guys started, maybe some fun facts about Jimmy and Melissa?
Yeah.
Some fun facts. Yeah. Do you want to tell them how we met or do you want me to tell them?
Also, we told them nothing and got them prepared for nothing. So
yeah.
We're going to let it rip and let it roll.
I gave her some guidelines.
Yeah, I know. But oh, yeah. Let me before we get to you guys, share the heart of the podcast a little bit is to bring couples on to kind of share their stories. And maybe they went through something that somebody else is experiencing. And we want to be able just to see how they maybe got through that experience, mm-hmm. how they handled it, how God moved in that experience, and what was the outcome and how it strengthened their marriage. You know, the whole point is to remember that you're not alone in your marriage. Anything that you're going through, somebody else is probably going through it too. So hopefully this will edify your marriage.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's good.
Go ahead. That's good. So I met Jimmy the summer I graduated from high school. So I'm not that old. And we met, I got a job at a restaurant and it was brand new opening in downtown Auburn. And we met at a training and it was, there was like an immediate, it was instant for me, like chemistry.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, was it not immediate for you?
No, I was agreeing with you.
Okay.
Yeah.
And we started hanging out pretty early on. And I will tell you guys something funny, because this is interesting for you guys to know, but this is how I got Jimmy's phone number. This was back when he'll laugh about it, but we had gotten into a circle and we were practicing like role playing as like the customer and like I'm the server. And he was holding his phone. I don't even know what made me think about this, but I was like, do you have Verizon? And he was like, yes, like kind of creeped out by me. And I was like, oh my gosh, I have Verizon too. So I guess we talk for free.
Whoa.
Like, no
way.
Yeah, way to date our relationship back to when they.
You had to buy minutes.
Yeah.
5 cents could, of text message.
You could go over your minutes on your cell phone plan.
And I remember. I thought I was just so cool with my pink razor.
Oh, I love
those. You guys remember what those were.
Razors.
Yes. And I was like, he's like, oh yeah, so yeah, we can talk for free. And I was like, yeah, so can I have your phone number? And that was like, I felt real cool. Cause that must've been like the first time I had ever asked somebody for their phone number. So I was feeling pretty good. Mm-hmm. And then from there, we just kind of never stopped talking.
Yeah.
And then, what else do you want to share? Anything else?
I remember the first time I saw her, we were in training. And my sister was living with me at the time. And I'll never forget, I went home that night and I was telling her a little bit about it. And I said, I think I met the girl I'm going to marry. Just completely random, right? Yeah, so crazy, right? Like, who would have thought? But here we are.
Yeah, he didn't even say hello to me at that point.
I didn't even know her name. I just went home, told my sister.
Yeah.
You know? You just saw her and was like, I'm going to marry her. Yeah. Yep. That's crazy.
And she rizzed you with her phone number, as they would say these
with
days.
The pink razor. Yeah. The whole flip phone got me.
Yes. Yeah.
I was like, what is rizz?
I don't know. You lost just me. Note for everybody out there, Alexander did not know what rizz meant.
No.
And I had to explain to her what it meant.
So. These things are so dumb. I'm sorry, but.
Babe. You know. And I'm sure they think our lingo is old
news. Yeah, that's true. Rizz is like a, what is it? Like a way of flirting?
Yeah, it's like flirting, or like you are trying to get a girl, or you're trying to like rizz somebody.
Rizz them up. Yeah.
We called it something different. We called it flirting. But it might have been something different before that.
Isn't rizz a candy too? Like, the candies?
I think those are razzles.
Oh, razzles.
Yeah, definitely.
That was really close.
Razzles.
Pretty much same thing. Rizz, razzle.
You know, I'm going to blame that on my pregnancy brain on that one. So, yeah,
sure. So, did you guys go on a first date? Or who was the first? Who initiated the first date?
Yeah, who asked out who?
There never really was a first date.
Yes, there was, Jimmy. Yeah.
I don't consider it the first date.
It was to, you guys are going to laugh about this, but we planned a double date with our friend, like with friends we worked with. And Jimmy was really cool. Like, he was like, I maybe have like 20, 30 minutes to hang out. And I was like, okay, yeah, like I'll take it. Like, if you're available. He's like, yeah, I might swing by. And I was like, okay, like, where should we meet? And he's like, wherever. And so
big.
Yeah, me and my friend were like, where should we go? Like, he's older. He's probably not going to think like a lot of places we are. So I should preface. I was 18 at the time. Jimmy was 23. Yeah.
Okay.
So we meet at the Wendy's in Federal Way. And I'm like, okay. Like, he shows up. Yeah. And I was like, you know, like, oh, I'm probably going to get chicken nuggets or something. And he's like, yeah, I don't really eat fast food. And I was like, okay. Oh, I was like, so you're not going to eat at all? He's like, no, I mean, I'll probably just get a Frosty. And I was like, oh, okay. Then I was like, so nervous, I couldn't even eat. That was like the first time we hung out. And yeah, from there, it was pretty much the rest was history.
Yeah.
So your first date was like a double date, not even a double date.
Yeah.
It was like a hangout.
Yes, total hangout.
But then when did it transition to just you guys going
dating
out?
Yeah,
just you two, nobody else.
Gosh, we didn't really hang out by ourselves hardly at all when we first met.
It was wild. It was probably a few months.
But you were official at that point? Like, you guys were saying, we're together.
Yes, like, we're together. Jimmy asked me to be his girlfriend on December 3rd, 2006.
That's cute.
2006.
On that day, to be exact.
I was in high school.
And you
I was a freshman.
I too was in high school, actually. Oh, okay, I graduated
out of high
school.
School. Yeah, no. And I just remember, like, the first time we had a conversation. A lot of people know this about us, but I remember, like, knowing instantly, like, I wanted a relationship with him. And then asking him, like, well, what are we? Pretty quickly. And he was like, we are just hanging out. Like, we're nothing. We were just hanging out. Yeah, total friend zone.
I totally friend zoned her.
Yeah. And so we quickly became girlfriend and boyfriend. And then quickly after that, obviously before we had a relationship with Christ, we both knew had a relation. I was raised pretty much my life in the church with my parents and walked away and didn't have a relationship with the Lord when I met Jimmy. I knew of him, just didn't have a relationship with him.
Yeah.
And we had Ariel pretty quickly on. We found out we were pregnant. And, yeah, that was made us serious pretty quickly.
Yep.
And so we had Ariel. I had Ariel at 19. And we didn't get married for a few years. Yeah. 3 years. 3 years later, we got married. And yeah, that was a difficult season because we both obviously come from pretty conservative backgrounds. Mm-hmm. And so when we told my parents we were pregnant with Ariel pretty quickly on, I guess the first thing your parents say is get married. Yeah. ASAP. Mm-hmm. And I still remember Jimmy's dad pretty quickly saying, like, you needed to propose, get married, make it right.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I don't want to get married because I don't know if I, like, we were just. Right. My honest answer was, I don't know that I love you enough to make that large of a commitment at this time.
Mm.
Because we both, when we first met, Jimmy's parents were actually going through a divorce.
Yeah. Mm.
And so I think that was a lot of hesitation for like any amount of commitment for him.
Yeah.
And my parents had been married forever. So we kind of were from really two different backgrounds.
Yeah.
And so he was like, I will marry you because it's the right thing to do. But I feel like God really like gave me a lot of wisdom in that season. And I really felt like had we have gotten married that quickly and made that huge of a commitment that fast, he would have ended up feeling some resentment that it was forced and not something that he truly wanted to. So we waited, and then when I was ready, it kind of just flowed together in that time, and you ended up proposing, and we got married pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm.
So during that time then, Jimmy, were you just waiting for her? Did you know that you were going to get married either way when she said she wasn't quite ready? Or
no, I mean, I was, like she said, I mean, I grew up in a dysfunctional household. Like, my parents never really had a good marriage, and so I knew early on that, like, yeah, you know, we're gonna have this kid together, but I never wanted it to be the driving factor for us getting married.
Yeah,
because I saw so much dysfunction growing up already.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. And it's funny because at the time, like, I didn't have a relationship with the Lord.
Yeah.
And it's funny, you can look back on seasons of your life and see how he was making moves without you knowing it.
Yeah.
Right. And so that's that's one of them, was just us taking the time to really build our relationship and the foundation before taking the next step to getting married.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, we had a kid early on, but the Lord knew when the time was right.
Yeah.
Sure.
And it wasn't like that. Right. Because I feel like if we would have turned around, got married right away, I mean, honestly, we talk about it all the time. I don't know if it would have worked out.
Yeah, some of the struggle wouldn't have been
anything
on anything, right? Yeah. Other than just the choice of, well, this is the right thing to do, rather than the foundation of the Lord. And then, like, okay, now we know we can do this because we both like have this as our foundation to move forward in marriage, right?
Yeah.
So that makes a lot of sense. So then did you guys start, because I know, like, you didn't know the Lord, you did walked away. Did you guys, when did that happen where you both started to like know the Lord? Is that what just made you decide to get married, or did you guys get married and then start kind of developing that relationship back with the Lord, or how did that happen?
Transition. So we got married, and we decided as Ariel got older, she was super gifted. And
she still is.
We share this a lot because
she's amazing.
She was literally from early on, like, we were like, she's incredibly gifted. She is so smart. She actually had told us that she wanted to start going to church. Funny enough, when I was working, we had really great friends that are still our friends now, and they were LDS, and they were wanting her to come to church with them. And we were like, we knew, like, our foundation was obviously we were Christian, and but they were like kind of wanting her to, like, inviting Jimmy to, like, the cookout, events, and then they were inviting him to, you know, all different.
Oh, I was
there's
going.
Like a, yes. There's another arc where you guys are Mormons.
Listen, yes. And they
I
were,
was going.
Yes.
I had no shame.
Jimmy was, yes, and I was.
Free food, I'm yes. there.
Right? Come on.
And I worked at night, and so I would call him, and I'd be like, hey, like, where are you? And he's like, oh, I'm down at the church down here in Sumner, and Errol and I are having, we're at the chili cookout. And I'm like, I hope you're not giving them the wrong message. But long story short, she was wanting to like go to church, and we were like,
and
okay.
How old
well,
was she at that point?
She was five. Not even
like five. Okay.
Yeah. No, I think she was four.
So you guys were already married at this point,
yep.
right? Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
And she showed early on that like she had an interest in like wanting to go to Sunday school. She loved school so much. And Jimmy was like, okay, well, if we tell her no, we need to start creating a foundation for her. Like, she's asking us to go to church. Mm-hmm. So then my parents started going to Motion Church in Bonnie Lake when it was at the middle school. And they were mm-hmm. meeting in the school. And she just told my parents, like, can you start picking me up on Sundays for school or for church? And we were like, okay. So it created this thing where every single weekend they would come and pick her up. They would take her to church with them, and then they would drop her off back off at church. Mm-hmm. And I started working for a company that is obviously local, and they started praying during lunch. Like, we would have lunch and we would pray. And my boss was, you know, pulled me aside one day, and he asked me, and he was like, hey, like, I never asked you, like, are you comfortable with us praying, like, in your mm-hmm. presence? And I was like, oh my gosh, absolutely. Like, I love praying. And he was like, okay, so then you want to pray over our lunch today? And I was like, no. I don't want to pray. But he was like, oh, great, you're comfortable with it. And I was like, yes. And he's like, okay, so do you go to church? And I was like, no. And he's like, why not? And I said, well, because I worked for, I don't know, 5 or 6 years. I worked on the weekends. And he's like, well, how long have you been here? And I said, oh, a little, coming up on a year. And he's like, we don't ever work on Sundays. And it was just like a light bulb for me. Yeah. It clicked. Yeah. It was like, oh my Ariel gosh. Wanting a relationship with yeah. the Lord at a very young age and having no idea where she got that from. Like, we yeah. don't know, because we weren't going to church. Weren't active.
Your parents weren't really saying much, right?
Yes.
They just said, we go to church. Like,
yep.
They wouldn't really share. Mm-hmm.
And we, I was like, yeah, that's true. Like, I don't know why we don't go to church. And so I told my mom, I was like, yeah, like, tell me more about this church. And then we started going as a family, and we just never stopped. Mm-hmm. That was, yeah, a long time ago. So really, we say that the Lord really used Ariel to kind of mm-hmm. create this path, which is so funny because she was so young. But she wanted early on, at like maybe 5 or 6, she was asking us to get baptized.
Oh my gosh.
And but at the Mormon church.
Oh, at the Mormon church.
I was like, and we were like, Jimmy's like, no, I mean, like, it has to be we wanted it to be a family decision. And she was like, okay, well, I want to go to church, whatever that looks like. And so it kind of just created the conversation in our home of like,
wow.
We sat down, and Jimmy and I had a very serious conversation early on, and he said, if we decide, like, it is important to me that if we root our kids in a place and they create a relationship with the Lord, like, that's where we root our family. I want to take it very serious. And I was like, okay. And you not having a relationship or anything with the Lord, like, I thought, okay,
that's
the
wild.
First step to mm-hmm.
like it's wild that you didn't, and that's what you said,
right?
Like, yes. Something in your soul, in your heart, knew that this is a good foundation,
right?
Even though you didn't know, you
yeah.
knew,
yeah.
That's ooh, I just got chills. That's crazy,
yeah,
that's
yeah.
crazy.
So, you that. Led the family then, Jimmy, is what you're telling me.
Sounds like, yeah.
You guys
sounds like it.
Again, yeah. I mean, that just goes back to like what I was saying earlier. You don't realize the moves the Holy Spirit's making in your life,
yeah.
you know,
yeah.
from, you know,
early on. Yeah, puzzle pieces.
Yeah.
You don't
and
see
especially
it.
Now, just sitting here talking to you guys, looking back on it, I'm like, wow.
All of the, yeah, everything lined up. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, now you have a little warrior, little Jesus warrior. You got two of them, actually.
She is.
Yeah.
Yes.
Both of them are.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. I love seeing the reels you guys post of Ariel. Or no, Ariel posts them.
Yeah. Right? Oh, she's of always Soph, inviting people
Ariel
to church.
Ariel and
Soph, like,
reading the Bible
crazy.
And stuff like that. So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so cool.
Yeah.
I love it. So we, like, one of the things we really appreciate about you guys is, like, you implement family time. Yes. Right? And so we're in a season where we have a little and another one on the way.
Yeah.
And so we're kind of in the chaos of toddler stage, right? And you guys are a season ahead with a teenager, and she's 9?
Eight.
Okay. Yeah. And so, like, they're a little bit older. So we always see you guys do all these family things together. And, like, you seem, all of you guys enjoy each other. Like, I can tell your kids enjoy being with you. And it's so refreshing. And so what are things that you guys implemented, or when did you implement those things to get to the place you are now? Like, when, you know, did you guys start going to church and then you go, okay, like, let's make one day a week? Or what was kind of that process for you guys?
Well, for me, so even before we started really going to church, for me, like, one thing, and this was before Soph, when it was just the three of us were there, you know, I always, like, family dinners was always very important to me. I was like, we can, so much chaos and busyness throughout the day, at least, you know, sit down and have dinner, you know, disconnect for a little bit was always, like, my number one thing. I was like, I can, everything else that's going on, our schedules, but for me, it's like, if we're all home, we're sitting down and we're having family dinner. Mm. And that, and then from there, just everything just kind of, you know, the family time just kind of branches off from that, I feel like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's just for me. That's what's important to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think we've always had, like, my family has always implemented Sunday dinner. Like, that was something my parents did back in when we were smaller. Like, Sunday was our family day. No questions. We grew up in a really strict household. Like, we could do one outing a week.
Oh, wow.
One outing a week.
Like, my dad, out of the house? Like, anything?
That was just, like, one fun activity. Like, on a Friday or Saturday, my dad would say, like, you could do one fun activity. We were really actively involved in sports. And so it would always be, like, the skating rink on Friday night. Like, that was, like, our thing.
I love that.
And
I grew up doing the skating rink.
Yes.
It's so nostalgic.
Yes. I was like, that was the place to be Friday night, like Auburn skate or whatever. But so, like, Sundays was, like, non-negotiable in our household. Like, we would go to church, come home, and the rest of the day was, like, dedicated to family day.
Yeah.
So obviously when Jimmy started coming around and we were dating, he was then invited to family dinner.
Mm-hmm.
And we've kind of important to him, and we've carried on that with our family.
Mm-hmm.
And so that is huge to us. Also, with our girls being 8 years apart, we don't have, like, we always say, like, we can't take for granted any amount of time, because the girls are so far apart in age,
mm-hmm.
that we have to implement, like, we have to be intentional with the time that we spend together.
Yeah.
And we're like, they're in totally different seasons, the girls are. And so we're like, it was always a worry to us that when we did have Soph 8 years later, that we were worried about them being close. And they are closer than siblings that are, like, a year apart.
Mm-hmm.
So God truly blessed us there. But we... We laugh because so many people ask us, like, yes, we have a travel trailer. But if you know the true reason why we have a travel trailer, is hilarious, because we were like, if we get a travel trailer, Jimmy's thought was, like, get us out in the mountains, disconnect, like, nobody has cell phone service. And raising kids in a generation that, like, electronics are huge, like, it was his way of being like, we're not going to ask you, because we're just going to do it and you're not going to have service.
Mm.
So we started looking for a used travel trailer. And because Jimmy's like, we can't afford a travel trailer. But I was like, I know. And we can't afford vacations. So we need to look up. And he's like, okay, I'll entertain the idea of a used travel trailer. And we found one. And the first year we had it, how often do we use it?
Oh, 7 or 8 times.
In one summer.
We were camping a lot.
Whoa. Yeah, almost every weekend.
Almost every weekend.
We were gone. Okay. We were gone. And that really was like intentional. Like we talked to, when Ariel was in elementary school, this lady that was in the office had a trailer and she told us, you're going to sell it once your kids turn 16. Once Ariel turns, you know, 15 or 16, she's not going to want to spend summers with you. And we've had to sell ours. And I was like, terrible. I was like, that mean, I went home and I told Jimmy, I was like, I'm devastated. I was like, she said, we're only going to have this many summers and Ariel's not going to spend time with us. And so he's like, well, to the mountains we go. And we, that was like pretty early on, we started implementing like intentional family time. Like weekends were dedicated to us spending time together. We'd pick an activity, we'd go do it. And we were gone quite a bit, but we would go, and some Sundays we would be gone. We'd wake up at
5 in the morning.
Pack up the trailer.
Make it back in time for church.
Yes. Wow.
Never miss church.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
I remember that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Back in the tent. Jimmy always talk about, we always go camping Friday night or Thursday night and Friday night so we can be home for Sunday church.
Yep.
Yeah.
Wow. That's really impressive.
And if we were far, like if we would be way over the mountain, we would camp until Saturday night, like the latest we could leave. Mm. And we would laugh because oftentimes like we were with our neighbors or friends and we would just like vanish in the night and they'd be like, where are you guys going? And
back up and leave.
Just wrapped her up.
I was like, we're gone. We got to make it back for church.
That's so cool.
That's good. I think another thing that you guys brought up and the reason why I wanted you guys to be on here to talk about it, but you guys were talking about Ariel and she, you know, is driving now and she's getting around town, but you guys are making events for her to be home. So like inviting friends over to be home.
Yeah.
Like, hey, bring your friends over here. We'll do pizza.
Oh yeah.
It's as another way to just have time with her, to be around her, whether you guys are spending direct time with her or not.
Right.
At least you got her home. So I thought that was very cool to think, oh, there are creative ways to get your teenage friend home. Free food, you know, usually pizza.
Yeah,
that they have to pay for, and as many friends as you can have over here. So
That's really good.
It's interesting, and I really like that idea. Inspired me. I was like, oh yeah, I guess there you can make time to be able to spend time with your kids, and you just have to be really creative with how you do it. And it's not always going to be the way that you want it to look. Like sitting down at family dinner every Sunday night, like that. You know, teenagers are teenagers.
It doesn't always
work.
We were
all teenagers once, am I right? So
We went a long time living in a house where it just wasn't like suitable for hosting people. And we prayed, like when we really started getting into church and getting really involved in small groups and stuff, we were praying a lot to have a place, a space to be able to host people.
Yeah.
You know, and then the Lord blessed us with the house that we're in. And so it's been great for that aspect too, because there's a lot of times where, you know, Ariel's going out with her friends. And so we just open up the home and her friends come over and, you know, Melissa's gracious enough to feed everybody, you know. And it's great because then our friends come over. We know it's a safe place for them all to be.
You get to know them.
Exactly.
She's
hanging
out with.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. It's been great.
It's a huge blessing. When we lived in our house over by Allen York Park, that house was, what was it, like 1,000 square
feet? It was like 1,200 square feet.
And it was a split level. So it wasn't like.
So then it feels even smaller.
Right, even smaller.
Yeah. And I remember like telling Jimmy when we were like walking through the process of like buying a home and looking to sell our home we were in and buying a new home. Like, it's funny because we were like, Lord, we're so rooted in this church and we love it so much. And we were hosting a small group and we could only fit like
8 people.
Like, like I was going to say like 6 to 8 people. Yeah. Our marriage group was so small at that time.
Yeah.
And I remember like somebody saying like, pray bold prayers over your life, like pray specific prayers over your life. And I remember telling Jimmy that, like, I was like, Lord, if you bless us with a house to host people, I will never get sick of hosting people. Mm. And I remember saying that and I was like, nowadays, we host and I'm like, every time I like feel myself getting like,
it's a reminder.
Okay, Lord, like, yeah, maybe not just host, you know, this week. I remember like he sets me reminders that like, remember the things that you prayed for and where you are now and what that looks like, because it's the hugest blessing for us is being able to have all these kids that can fit in our house.
Yeah.
And make it so that we're still getting that quality time, because like Jimmy will be like, the last thing he wants to do is get home from work at like 5 o'clock. And then I'm like, oh, by the way, Ariel's friend group's coming over for dinner.
Yeah. By the like, way, there's really? 15 he's kids. Like,
do we have to feed them? I'm like, yes, we also have to feed them. And I always tell them, I'm like, you know, but if not, then like one, I want them in a home that we've prayed over and it's safe. And, you know,
you don't know what those kids are going through.
Right. Yes. And that's another thing is exactly that is you don't know what their life looks like outside of that. Mm-mm. And I'm like, if I could be, you know, we're a godly household. If we can invite those kids into our home and love on them in whatever season it is that they're in, let it be.
Right.
And so we love it. We love it. We don't take it for granted. We love.
Yeah. I mean, as a teenager, like not growing up in a Christian home, that was so special to go to my friend's house that had these like firm believers of Christ as their parents, and they would open up their homes and they would feed us. And I was so thankful as somebody who didn't experience that. And those people like became like my spiritual moms, you know? Yeah. So it's like and spiritual dads where they walked me through different seasons and got to see me grow in different seasons too. And so it's so special, because I'm sure there's kids that, you know, that Ariel's friends with that aren't walking, you know, don't have a safe, not like that it's, if it's not Christian, you're completely unsafe. But like, if, you know, sometimes there's just, it's a little more chaotic.
Yeah.
Let's just call it chaos. It's more chaos. Yeah. But, you know, it's so special for like those friends to have this safe place and then wanting to keep coming back. And I know that it's a sacrifice for you guys, obviously, to like cook for, you know, 15 extra mouths, and especially if there's teenage boys up in there, like
that's a huge
they eat a ton of food. So,
and there's only so many times like you can be like, is Costco pizza suitable? Because I'm like, they get Costco pizza all the time. So we tried to change it up last week they did
a nacho bar,
but they
that's fun.
Yeah. Had the whole table filled with nachos, and then fun. They do, like, we think of creative fun stuff that's feasible for us, and we just do it. It's fun.
That's you so can go cool. to Costco and get one of them big log 10 pounds of hamburger meat.
Yeah, that's true. A secret. Do you guys know about that?
Wait, the log? Wait, logs?
You guys, it's a secret.
The flat thing.
Yes, yeah, no, it's a secret trick.
The butchers come out and they open up and you just ask for the 10-pound log.
They do not advertise it.
They'll bring you out a 10-pound.
It's called a chub.
Is it cheaper?
Yes.
No way.
No way.
You guys, I know.
All right.
You guys.
Here on the Real Love, Real Stories life hacks. Melissa's bringing them in hot.
The last 10-pound, we got 10-pound thing of ground beef.
And it's grass-fed.
And it's like 90-10. Mm-hmm. It's really lean. And it was like 45 bucks.
Pretty lean. That is pretty lean.
It's the same. So if you go down, like for a really long time, we were going down the Costco aisle, and we were buying the grass-fed ground beef, like the Kirkland.
Oh yeah.
1 pound, and it was like what, $18, and then
for 4 pounds,
and then inflation, and then I watched Costco hacks online, and this lady was like saying, so he's like that's telling Jimmy, I was like, I was at Costco one night late, and I said, can you come meet me here? And he's like, why? I'm like, because I'm embarrassed to ask if they do this or if it's like fake thing. And somebody's
that
just
would
like
be me, I would not ask.
And so I was like walking past the meat department, like cruising, waiting for Jimmy to come, and he just like knocks on the window, and he's like, do you guys do like
Well, it's called a chub of meat.
A chub of meat.
Right? That sounds horrible.
It does. Yes. And so I'm like, okay. I get why she doesn't want to ask this guy for a chub of meat.
Right? I was like, I don't know if this is appropriate.
It sounds terrible, but yeah. That's literally yes. You. And he some peeks of them, his head out the window. You yeah. Ask him for a chub of hamburger meat.
And he's like, he's oh, like,
I'll be right back.
1 second. And they have to like grab it, make a tag. Like it's not a, it's a secret we thing. Try it.
Yeah, I think they go back that. And it's like they make like sausage, you know, they put the sleeve on there and they just fill it up with hamburger meat.
But it's really great ground beef. Yeah. And we've done it now the last few months. It saved us such a good amount of money.
Yeah.
Jimmy goes home and he like pro slices
you guys
it in half.
You have had to learn how to cut quarters so that you can still.
You got to. You got
the
to.
The teenagers still cover the
feed
house.
All these kids.
Yeah.
If you're feeding male teenagers, go to Costco, get a chub of meat, and make a nacho bar.
Yeah, exactly. Love it.
You have that's to ask so for cool. It behind the counter.
Mm-hmm. That's so cool. Yeah. So I was thinking too. Okay, for you guys, when you've implemented family time, or just you implement family time, what are things that you've had to kind of say no to in order to still create that your family is important? Like, what are those things that you've had to, you know, maybe put aside or say no for now? Or what is kind of your like week look like to, you know, hang out with friends or go do things with other people rather than your family? Like, is there certain days that you have, but or what are things that you're just like, this is obviously Sunday dinners, but I'm just curious if there's other things that you've had to say no to in this season of making sure that you create space for your family.
Yes, Jimmy, he will say I don't say no to very much.
And that's why I'm looking. I'm like, I want to see looking. How she answers this question.
Yeah, I'm reading. Oh,
okay,
mind.
How can you what say no more?
Yeah. I think a really huge thing for us is, and to be, it's like something I'm reading, I'm walking through, I'm trying to implement in my life is like, I keep reading through my devos and it's like, you know, in order to really honor the Lord and have a really great foundation here, it's like your no's have to be no's and your yes's be yes.
Yeah.
And so for us, something really new we're trying is because we serve at the church every other week, very, you know, twice a month like you guys.
Yeah.
And Sunday is a day of rest, but we've also Fridays and Saturdays are busy.
Yeah.
And so something we've been trying in these last couple of months is if we have something on Sunday, we have taken a break from serving and we've had somebody else fill in for us. And that has been really new and refreshing because you guys know as a family that serves, you know, every other weekend, you have to take breaks.
Yeah.
And
you
that
get burnt out.
Yes, you get burnt out. And for us, it's like we took a vacation. We took a vacation together. And we were like, I think we've done it twice actually now. Where we
don't feel guilty.
I know. Feel guilty.
You're like, oh.
That we've had to, you know, have somebody else serve for us on a Sunday, but it was like such a day of rest. Like so intentional with our rest and like not feeling guilty when we do say no, is something that we've just done as of recent. We don't want to take advantage of it, but it's definitely needed and necessary. What's something else?
That's it.
Yeah, just learning how to say no.
I mean, that's the biggest thing is just learning how to say no. And like she is such a people pleaser. If anybody asks for anything, she's like, absolutely, we'd love to do it. Meanwhile, I'm like, one more thing, right?
Yes.
But, you know, and that's good. It's a good balance because you don't want me saying no to everybody. That's not going to do us any good.
Yeah.
So
that's very... used to be very similar to us.
Yeah,
he would be like so easily like nope, and I'd be like yeah, of course,
exactly.
And I'm filling up our whole week, and he's like, what's happening?
Exactly. You know? Yeah,
I don't sign us up for anything.
No, he does
Let's
not.
Just say that. No. Except for worship, I do sign up for worship.
Yeah, but I'm the one. I'm like, okay, we're like this person's gonna come over. Like I'm gonna go out with this person, but I think. You know, you guys have been in the season that we've been in with us, small kids, and I know like Ariel and so forth at the same stage, but what would be something like advice for us of just navigating the family time and friendships? Because I think for me, I feel almost guilty leaving too much, like leaving my daughter too much because she's so young. And I try to have friends come over here, like spend a little time with her, and then she goes to bed. And or I feel guilty, even though Frank was like, go ahead and go out. But it's like, for me, it's so hard to do that, because I know that the season that she's in, she needs me so much.
Right. Yeah, just and for it's a
like,
short time.
I know she's going to get to a season where she's not. Yeah. And I'm going to be like, please come back. Like, please, you know, like you guys, like, please come and just hang out at the house. So what would be your advice to us in the season that we have of little kids, of finding that balance of friendships and family time, so that it's not just complete like, we're only doing family time, because I feel like we do that a lot.
Yeah. Right.
We're only doing family time and we're not seeing our friends, but not neglecting, you know, family time for the friendships. Like, what would be something that you recommend for that balance?
That's hard. I mean, because like we had Ariel so young, so we didn't have a lot of friends like in our friend group that had kids.
Yeah.
And so we never, for us, it never slowed us down. She came everywhere with us.
Yeah.
Even golfing. Jimmy would bring Ariel from a tiny age, and he would always like trick her, I want to say, because he used to go.
Walking, but she was like 3 years old out at the golf course.
All day with him and his friends.
Because Rose, like our kid would not. So I'm like, our kid would just be running.
Yes. You used to go out to like, what was it? Black Diamond or?
Jade Greens.
And they had like a bunch of animals. Like it was on, obviously, people over there.
Yeah.
And so he would like pack her up a lunch, pack her up snacks. Mm. And like she'd put on her, you know, she'd have her tennis shoes. And he would go with his friends. None of them had kids. And he'd be like, yeah, I can come golfing, but I'm going to have Ariel. So they would all take turns, like, hanging out with her while each other were golfing.
Yeah.
And so I laugh because she didn't slow us down at all. We were full steam ahead with Ariel.
Mm-hmm.
We went through a season of kind of loneliness because, we didn't have a ton of community that had kids. Really important early on, because I stayed at home with Ariel when she was smaller, but my parents would always say is like, you have to push yourselves, because I was really attached, especially because Ariel was my first kiddo. And I had the hardest time leaving, and Jimmy would always encourage me.
Or the anxiousness of
Right. And I would go, and then I'd come back.
Something's gonna happen while I'm gone. Like, it's so bad.
It's hard. Yeah. And he would constantly encourage me, like, it would be like, hey, go to Target and, you know, come back. And then it was like, you were just really great in that season to always encourage me to, like, be okay without her.
Yeah.
And it really, honestly, like, date nights were essential, even though they were difficult for me to do.
Mm-hmm.
Because I felt such a pull to still be at home with her. I would like force myself to commit to those date nights, and Jimmy would like plug them in and be like, hey, these are our date nights. Even if it was an hour of us just like, we didn't have a lot of money when Ariel was small either. So like we had to be intentional with like what we did.
Yeah.
Mm. And so it would be like, hey, we're going to go walk the lake, or hey, we're going to go, you know, pack a picnic, or we would think of really creative things that didn't cost us a ton of money to do. And just be intentional with like our time. And it prepared us then 8 years later, once we had Soph, because she slowed us completely down. She is a scheduled, like,
she's a homebody.
She is a homebody. Yeah. Anywhere she is not. Yes.
Yeah.
She can't take naps in vehicles. Like that was never her thing. She had to be at home on a schedule. Like even now to this day at 8 years old, she is on a very structured schedule. And so
after my own heart, though,
I was like night and day with Ariel. We were like out doing stuff, and it would be like 11. We'd be like, oh my gosh, should we get this kid home and get her to bed? With Soph, it's like we have to cut things shortly because at by like 9, she's ready to be like showered,
yeah,
in bed, like having her conversations with Jimmy at nighttime. And yeah. So it's like, it's literally our kids are like night and day.
Yeah.
And the best advice I could give anybody with kids at a small age is like, we said this to our friends the other night, is like, don't forget about each other. Because at the end of the day, like, kids are going to, they're going to grow up and they're going to, you know, Ariel's 16. We have a couple more years with her.
That's so sad.
Yeah, I know. Right?
I'm like getting teary eyed. I'm like,
I get so, so sad.
Think about.
Well, but it literally blinks.
September. So.
Yeah. And you go through seasons of being very connected, the two of you.
Yeah.
And then you kind of fall out. I don't want to say that, but. Yeah. You do. You
there's a separation, right? There's, I mean, it's yes. even biblical. It's,
yes.
Like, yeah.
Eventually, the daughter. You yes. know, I mean, thinking about marriage, right?
Right.
Like, yes.
They become their own family.
Yes.
Like, you guys are all one family right now. Yes. But when she gets married, that's her family now.
And yes.
You guys are two separate families. Yeah. Even though, you know, she's still, you know, I yeah. guess the easy way to put it is, yeah, there's two families and you guys are all one family. But her main yeah. focus is going to be her family.
Yeah.
And you guys are just going to be complements of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is hard for us to like go through, right? Because eventually we're like, no, we were not the complements. We are the ones that, you know, we got you a car.
Right.
You stayed at our house. Yeah. We right. paid utilities.
Yeah.
You know, so that like you could take a shower and
yeah.
now you're just going to leave us? Like, what's up with that? But
yeah.
It's a biblical thing to. Yep. Like, just send them off. Like, okay, yeah, you're becoming like a woman. Now you're going to get married. Yeah.
yeah.
So.
yeah.
Like, I mean, it's hard to think about. I'm not saying, yeah. oh, yeah, it's so oh, easy. Yeah, just kick no, them out. It's good to go. Just, but.
Sure.
It's such a, like, parenthood.
Yeah.
And is, I'm sure you guys can attest to this. You're already 16 years in. And yeah. you're like, that just went so fast. Like, yeah. you probably feel like yesterday you just were in this season of life, yeah. right? With just a toddler running around and it's just. Your house is always messy and you know, it's like never clean. But, and I just think about in those frustrations,
yeah.
like now I try to remember like, this is so short.
Yep.
Yeah.
In my life, like yep. it will literally, I will blink and she's going to be out of the house.
Yeah.
And it's just going to be Franco and I, and like how, you know, we have to make sure we're good because yeah. I've seen it in.
Yep.
my own household of just that it was always kids first and yeah. not marriage, and that resulted really poorly
yeah.
and I was like, I will not do that. And like you said, with date nights, we schedule ours and make sure
yeah.
we have them, and those are a bit easier for me to get out for whatever reason, I think, because yeah. I have a distraction.
Yep.
right? But it's like, if I go by myself, I'm like, oh my gosh, I should probably get home. It's like, oh, it's been an hour, you know.
Yeah.
right.
So but yeah, that's it's well, true.
And 100%. I mean, I see what you're saying, because her and I went through a season of that too early on, where Ariel was our entire life. And so
yeah.
even the early on, if we did get a date night, we would go out and we almost didn't even know how to interact with each other.
Yeah.
You know, because all we knew was having Ariel.
Yeah.
yeah.
You know, and so I always just think like, I think about that saying, you know, it takes a village.
Yeah.
You know, and for
yeah.
us, for me, to tell anybody, it's like, you have to know your village and trust them, because you have to be able to rely on them.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
because it's just as important for you as a couple to get out and still have that foundation of where you started.
Yeah.
You know, because she says it all, like she used to say it all the time, like, once these kids move out,
yeah,
what are we going to do with ourselves?
It's yeah. like, well,
and so that's why you have to be able to implement some alone time.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think just even having like a community of friendships around you too, that kind of understand that season that you're in too. I think you guys do a great job, because there is so many people having kids right now.
So many.
Where
so many kids.
Jimmy and I are kind of like,
I think there's like four just in my like just week.
Yes. I think we have four in our marriage group alone pregnant right now.
Wow.
Four couples.
Oh
yep.
my goodness.
Four couples. Exactly.
That's crazy.
I know. People keep laughing and like, don't drink the water at our house.
Yeah. Well,
ours
Berkey.
Is if you'll move. Ours is a 50-50 chance you'll move.
Yes.
Yours is like you're going to have a baby.
Yes,
ours is
come on.
20% chance.
20%?
Oh.
20%. I thought it was 50, chance. But whatever. But yeah, if you join us and you're praying about moving, you're going to move.
Yeah.
Move. Each season we've had one couple end up moving out of state and it worked out and yeah.
What? But, oh, wow. Okay. Well,
fun fact about our marriage
that's,
group.
That's a joke.
I know. Ours is if you want to have
just
a baby.
Kick him out. Yeah. You kick him out of the state.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, I see how you guys do it. Yeah.
You're not meant for Washington. Right.
Funny.
But yeah, I think you just grow in seasons of like, we really think that God has truly blessed us with friendships in every season that have kind of molded with the season that we're in. And we love it because we've managed to find friendships now that have kids kind of in the same age as Soph, not Ariel.
Yeah.
But not very many friends we have kids Ariel's age. Right. But we love it because they're there with whatever we need. And we love it because sometimes it's family date nights and then other times it's just double date nights with just the parents. Mm-hmm. And it changes. Like, that's the kind of crazy thing about it is, like, we are in a season where, you know, a year ago you were to ask us, Ariel was, you know, could help us out and babysit, which is great with having an older kid. But now she's in a season where she's never home. And so we have a third wheel with us all the time. And we're, like, in this season where we're, like, we literally looked at each other the other night and we said, do we need a babysitter? if my mom's busy or whatever. So we're like, it's weird the seasons that have transitioned because
have to.
Right.
Nope.
The
and now
we
are like,
we're kind of back to square one of just the three of us when it was just a scenario.
Yeah. So we have to be really intentional with time.
Yeah. That's time is fleeting always, but yeah. Yep. That's really cool. Anything else, baby?
No.
You want to expand on?
No, I don't think so.
Any other questions you have for them?
Mm.
They've been imparted some real wisdom.
They did. There's so much good nuggets in this one. I'm just really glad that you guys were able to join us and do it. And I know you were nervous.
It's all Jimmy, good.
But it's good. I just love having these types of conversations because,
important.
You know, there's certain things that we knew about your testimony and your walk, but there's other things that I'm like, I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. Like, that's so good to hear. And that's like what we want for this podcast is just that people can listen and there's going to be people, you know, hopefully that listen and like, oh yeah, I have this similar story or this is so good for me to take and how to implement family time and make sure, you know, that we're keeping the marriage first and God first, obviously, and then marriage and, and then your kids, because your kids, like you said, they leave. They're just this like one little piece in your whole life. And then it's you two. And you know, you want to like each other. You want to love each other. You want to get to the other side of it. So,
yeah,
that's so good. Well, thanks, Jimmy and Melissa, for taking the time to come out
thanks
here.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks for having us. This is so fun.
Yeah, this was really fun.
I'm sure we'll have you again, too.
Very inspiring.
Part two to come.
Yeah, part two to come. I will just shout out Pineapple Peterson Boards, charcuterie. If you guys, for all your charcuterie needs, reach out to Pineapple Peterson Boards. You know, we're here to promote you guys up too, you know.
Thank you.
Get the kingdom of God moving through charcuterie boards. One charcuterie board at a time.
That's right.
Yep, absolutely.
They are delicious. Can't go wrong with one.
Yeah. So thank you everybody for joining us. If you liked it, go ahead and share it. And we'll see you next time. Thanks.